last second in last year's recruiting cycle.
Literally.
Yeah.
The last week.
And stole your Duke.
Stole my Duke of Hazard, my Duke of Blade, and I am not looking forward to having to play him again, because goddamn.
No. Yeah, he's going to be a while, or he's going to be around for a while. And you know what else is going to be around for a while? Us, because we are back with Episode 6, Mediocre Sports Podcast. What's up, everybody?
Holy Travis? Shit, six episodes.
Six episodes. Six official episodes, like eight unofficial episodes. We won't talk about those. Maybe in the future we'll release some of the uncut gems.
Well, you gotta practice. You know, you gotta get your feet wet. You gotta dip your toes a little bit.
Yeah, I like to think in terms of like whiskey, how they have the angel's share. We'll have like the devil's share when we release those.
Okay, I like it.
Because that's you and I are much more fans of Satan than anything else.
Raise hell, praise Dale.
Yeah, fans of Dale Earnhardt and Devil Earnhardt, if you will. But Travis, how you doing? We're back. How was your week?
You know, man, I'm doing pretty good. I actually went on a date on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
We hung out in this little downtown. You're obviously familiar with it, but our listeners are likely not. This little town outside of Orlando called Sanford. It's got an awesome yep. little downtown with just a bunch of bars, bunch of restaurants, brunch places. We were planning on doing brunch, but we didn't end up just due to circumstances. We didn't end up getting there till like after football started. I made sure the first place we stopped had football on the TV. It was a great first impression, I'm sure. But hey, ended up being
you gotta
a full
set
blown,
the priorities to start with.
Yeah, it ended up being a full blown lunch and dinner. Some live music, some walk-ins, some quality conversation. It was good times, and we've already got plans for a second this week, although I don't know if I'm going to make it, and I hate to bail, but yeah, I don't know if I'll be available Wednesday night. I'll have to see. Part of it is because of my dog, I won't lie. I always feel like such an asshole when I leave my dog for too long. Like, I leave her all day for work, and then, like, what am I going to do? Come home, walk her, and then just go out again? Like, I don't have a life. She's not used to that.
What you should do is, well, how's your dog out in public?
Great.
I would find something that you can bring your dog to. Like, there's tons of different, like, outside bars and stuff like that where you can bring a dog. So
actually,
I would...
you know where she wants to go is downtown. She wants to do karaoke in downtown the land. Of all places.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I could probably bring her. But
Travis.
I don't know, the loud music might not be great for her.
She'll probably be alright, but Travis, there is a awesome place in downtown Atlanta called Persimmon Hollow.
Yeah. You and me and Rachel went there years ago.
Yes. And they're super friendly with dogs. You'll probably see like 1,000 dogs there. So I would definitely don't blow it off and take your dog.
Alright, you know what? I think I may have to do it. And that may be... Do they do karaoke? I don't know. That may be where we're going.
I don't know if they do karaoke, but there's a place like right outside that's kind of like an outdoor, indoor type place. Like bar, club. It's not like a club, but you could almost call it like that. They usually have live music and stuff. So maybe that's where it is. But you know, it's a good test too.
Well, so, she does have a daughter. Two daughters, and she's going to be bringing one daughter, so I'll have to make sure, and this could be, you know, like, this could be a deal breaker right here, if my dog, you know, is like, no, don't, if I, you know, say, hey, can I bring my dog, and she's like, no, because of my daughter, or no, because of any kind of reason, that could be a deal breaker right there, so we may find out. Obviously, it's been one date, we've been only chatting for like a week.
Yeah.
So, you know, that I could find out a real unfortunate deal breaker real
quick. Well, I'll tell you one thing, Travis, and you know what? We'll get into this a whole lot more in our segment after sports. But, yeah, when you're dealing with parents and kids, like, you're stepping up a level with, like, how people view their kids and stuff like that. So, you know, just keep that in mind is all I'm saying.
That's true. I mean, we are at that age in our 30s where like everybody's got kids, including yourself. But to be honest with you, I haven't done a ton of dating, granted, in the last couple of years. But like this is actually the first one that has had kids. And I don't personally want kids of my own, but you know, I'm fine with them. Actually, strangely, as awkward as I am and as profane as I can be, I'm actually surprisingly good with kids. Usually boys tend to like me. Like, mm-hmm. like... you know, Thanksgivings and Christmases and things, I usually hang out a lot with like the kids, because we usually bond over gaming. So we'll have to see how this goes with the daughter, because this is going to be a first for me. It's exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can't wait to talk more about this. But our users generally just tune in for the sports and then they stay for the extra. So without further ado, let's get into it. And the reason I'm plowing through this is because fucking Florida Gators won.
Well, then I was going to ask you, you asked me how I'm doing. I was going to ask you how you're doing. You must be on cloud nine, man. The Gators got the bugaboo off and they beat LSU. The shoe curse may be over finally.
It is over. I'm on cloud 69 because we beat them at home. And it was not like a last second lucky win. Like that was a complete and total victory. Like, and I mean, the score obviously is not going to be, you know, it wasn't like 60-0 like Texas put on us, but that was a complete beating on offense and defense. So I'm super stoked.
It was a close game up until the end. You guys,
it was, but like again, and did you see the stats for that on how much time, like the amount of time they had the ball for versus like the amount of time we had the ball and everything like that?
Did they not kind of like, yeah, oh, dude, 41 minutes and 43 seconds they had the ball. You guys had the ball and for 18-17. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lagway looked pretty good. He didn't throw a pick.
And the reason I am so excited about that specific statistic about the time is because that means that we had big plays. And Florida has been, like, hurting for big play potential for so long. So seeing that we were able to put up more points and our defense was able to hold their ground was just – it was awesome to see. So I am beside myself with happiness.
See, as a supporter of Georgia, Georgia – you know, you tend to watch your rivals. I actually watched every minute of that LSU Florida game. And it was one of those where it's like, all right, Florida's going to blow it. You even texted me, you said it's not over yet, you know. But for whatever reason, even with, like you said, the time of the ridiculous 2-1, more than 2-1 time of possession ratio, y'all made big ass plays, and it just never seemed like your defense bent and didn't break. It just never seemed like y'all were out. It just didn't seem like one of those games like the Tennessee game. You know how that ended. It just didn't seem like that was gonna happen, and then y'all pulled away in the fourth, and it was I don't want to say it was awesome, because you know I don't care for the Gators, but it was a hell of a performance. So congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. And I was texting one of my old coworkers who is also a big Gator fan. And, you know, we're still, I don't want to say we're all, like, indecisive now with Billy Napier, and because it's been 3 years of just absolute dog shit. But I will say, they are still fighting. Like, that team is still fighting. Even though the season is over, like, we're not going to, like, we may get to a bowl game, but we're not going to the college football playoffs. Like,
you will get to a bowl game.
Yeah.
Don't forget who you play Thanksgiving week.
Hey, you never know. You never know until it's over. But, you know, just to see them still fighting like that is a testament to what they see in, like, happening inside the organization. Like, the players see the things that we don't see. Like, they see what the coaches are doing, like, what the staff is doing. And they're still buying into that. And we also, I mean, we just flipped a four-star recruit from Florida State to Florida. I don't know if you saw that as well. Your 2025 four-star quarterback flipped or decommitted and then flipped to us.
Well, can you blame him?
No, I can't. But, you know, just my point is they're still fighting, and that gives me hope that the coach is building something that, like, you know, these powerhouse programs like Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee are building, because they're just like, they come out week after week. Doesn't matter what last week was. It's, you know, short-term memory. Let's just get out and keep doing it. So seeing that gives me hope for the future. We'll see if that's misguided hope. I think he still needs an offensive coordinator, but hey, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
You guys right now are are basically the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the SEC. You know, you're 5-5. You don't have, you know, the best record. You're not, you know, really competing for much, but there's no quit in you. You fight no matter what. I mean, okay, a couple games early in the season, notwithstanding, you fight. The Georgia game, the Tennessee game, you murdered Kentucky. Obviously, you just beat LSU, you upset LSU. You guys fight. You got that dog in you, and them dogs finally got back on track. By the way,
I said this. I don't know what episode we were in, but it was like episode 3, or obviously it wasn't that many far ago. But you asked me what or who I thought the best team in college football would be, or who would win the championship, and I said Georgia. And my reasoning was, once they get their shit together, they're going to be scary. And I think we saw what they look like when they have their shit together. Like,
oh, they got their shit scary together.
Team. Yeah. On Carson Saturday. Beck didn't. Carson Beck realized that he doesn't have 22 receivers on his team.
Yep.
And decided to not throw the ball to them. So that was, I mean, honestly, that's what did it. You just don't turn the ball over, and they were just able to take care of the rest.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it was all kind of a matter of time. So I don't love seeing Georgia win, but I also love seeing Tennessee lose.
Carson Beck didn't turn the ball over. Neither did Stetson Bennett. That was that's a little dumb joke that no one's going to get or laugh at, because I call during our briefing, I called Carson Beck Stetson Bennett, even though he is warm on the bench for the Rams now. This stat line, 25 of 40 for 347. 347 mm-hmm. and two touchdowns, no picks. That's a Stetson Bennett goddammit, I did it again. That's a Carson Beck stat line that we would expect. And oh, by the way, he also ran for that touchdown. And that touchdown, that was not a gimme. He had that dog in him on that touchdown run. And he had 32 yards on the ground and three carries. And you know that also includes, sacks and things like that. In college football, the rushing stats are included in that. So Carson Beck had himself a damn good day. And Georgia, that was a big game. And I mean, once sure they gave up, they were down 10-0 in the first quarter. But once that first half was over, man, it was all dogs.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You love to see it, and I think you're right. And you know, I would be as bold. I would go as far as to say that if they played Alabama again, they'd beat them. I think if they played,
I think so too.
No, you do.
Just look at that game. Like, look how far they came back in that game to almost win, to take the lead.
I think if they played Ole Miss again, they'd beat them. They have found their form at the right time. And I mean, you got to watch out for those Georgia Tech dorks in week, the final week. But that game's in Athens, so I think they're good there. But I don't disagree with you, and I'm not being biased. That I think, they might just be one of the best. If they don't make the college football playoff, and it's hilarious because they probably won't even. I think they're mathematically out of the SEC championship at this point. But if they don't make they could still make the college football playoff, and all you got to do is get in, and they're getting hot at the right time.
Yeah, and that's what it is. You just keep yourself in contention, and then you just got to get hot right at the right time. So, Georgia looks like they're well on their way to do that. And someone who looks like they're not, or at least, it was a little bit of a scare, is Oregon. Only winning by, 3-2 to Wisconsin?
What was it, 18-16?
I think it was 16-13, something like that, yeah.
16-13, you're right, yeah. And that was a scare. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Wisconsin immediately turned around and fired their offensive coordinator. Like, as soon as the whistle blew, they were like, you're gone.
Which is hilarious against the number one team in the country.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, you put up 13 points. Yeah, yeah. So that is, I thought that was a funny headline when I read that. I'm like, you guys almost won, and then you fired them like immediately, but... you only put up 13 points,
but they were up going into the fourth quarter. They were up 13-6. But I can kind of see how, that's like a program changing win right there. If that happens, if they can score even a field goal that at least forces overtime, they can put any points on the board in the fourth quarter. You know, that's a program changing potential win. So I get it. But I mean, it was against the number one team in the country and you held them to 16 points, but I guess that's not the offensive coordinator's job now, is it?
No, but you know something we don't talk about much, and I don't know if anyone really talks about that, but teams like Wisconsin or, say, in the Gators, per se, when they have nothing to lose, like, how scary of a team do they become? Like, when you are planning to go play these teams where it's like the season's over with, yes, in the Gator State they can make a bowl game, but it's not going to be a good bowl. It's going to be like the Toilet Bowl or the Reese's Puffs Bowl or something like that. So, like, Ole Miss, when they're coming to Gainesville next week, like, what is that like, I wonder, to plan to play a team that just they have nothing to lose? Like, it doesn't matter what that happens to the outcome, whether they win or lose. They're going for it. You know, they're going for 2 points in triple overtime rather than kicking the field goal. Like, I wonder what that's like to have to face these teams that are just out to ruin your season.
See Georgia Tech against Miami. See fucking Northern Illinois when they beat Notre Dame, which looks more and more hilarious with each and every passing day now.
Yeah.
Marshall did the same thing a couple years ago to Notre Dame. They randomly knocked them off early season at South Bend at the House of Jesus. That's just the beauty of college football, because it's just you never know. I mean, for all I know, Georgia Tech could come out guns a blazing when they play Georgia. They won't.
No, I don't think Georgia Tech is gonna. I don't think they stand a candle, and I think they used up their mojo. Beating Miami.
Their one fun, nice win. Those fucking assholes. I hate Georgia Tech, by the way, to all any of our listeners. In case you didn't hear me bitching about them previously, but yeah, you're right. They used up their freebie, not freebie, but yeah, they used up their upset against Miami. Now may they forever dive and sink back into oblivion where they belong, please.
Tell us how you really feel.
Oh, I can, but I don't want to hemorrhage listeners and make this a 3-hour episode where 2 hours and 45 minutes of it is me talking about how much I despise Georgia Tech.
Yep, we don't want to offend all those rambling wrecks from Georgia Tech, so we will pass on from there.
All right, I'll give them one thing. To put a pin on that, you're right. They are rambling wrecks from Georgia Tech, and they are a hell of an engineer.
They are hell of an engineer. Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, that's
hell
fine.
Of a hell of a hell of a hell of a hell of an engineer.
No, like I thought you were going to
go on and on. I know the fight song. Like all the Jolly Good Fellows, they drink their whiskey clear, like my friend Kyle here. That rhymed unintentionally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was expecting something more of like a compliment to the school, but I'm actually happy you just went with the fight song. So yeah. We'll leave it at that and move on.
All right. To some NFL talk, perhaps? Or shall we talk about I guess we kind of talked about our favorites in the college football playoff. That's really nothing more needs to be said there. You know, there's going to be five SEC teams. Georgia will likely be one of them, even though they won't go to the SEC title game. Shall we move to some NFL talk? We are, as is typically tradition with this show, we are filming this. It's 1976. We are recording this during Monday Night Football, and the Cowboys are, after a rough start, are putting up a fight. It's 17-10 here, coming close to halftime. So
they are engineering a comeback.
Hey, heyo.
Yeah, that is how I transition.
I will ramble if there's any more engineer Georgia Tech references, and you don't want that. You're going to have to find a new co-host.
Well, before we move into NFL, we're on a commercial break with Monday Night Football too, so we can wait just a second before we get into that. Buffalo, your team in Dynasty, a real team in college football, Deion Sanders football team. I think they're real. Well, yes. I'm going to say, I think they're kind of real-ish. Or is it just Shador and Travis Hunter?
What was that about Deion Sanders? You mean Colorado?
Colorado, yes. What did I say?
Sorry, you said Buffalo.
Yes,
and I think I may have caused that by talking about getting into NFL talk. Buffalo Bills.
Well,
no, the Colorado Buffaloes.
Wrote that. Yeah, that's what it was. I refer to them as their mascot and not by their actual team name.
Got it. That's why Buffalo's on here twice. That makes sense.
That's why.
A reference to the Chiefs game at least is on here twice. I do think that the Colorado Buffaloes are legit this season, but I think like what might happen or what did happen in my in our online dynasty when I'm controlling Colorado was things went to shit the second year because yes, they lost Travis Hunter. And when I was watching the game, did you watch that game?
No, it's because I knew they were just going to shit stomp him.
The color commentator also called him Shitter Sanders. Shador Sanders.
Shador.
And who? Travis Hunter, Shador Sanders, and the other Sanders. I think that once they are gone onto the NFL into bigger things, I do think it's going to be another. It's Deion. He's recruit. He's really transfer portaling it up. They said something like some ridiculous percentage, 80-something, 90-something% of the team came from the transfer portal. So, yep. You know, people probably want to play for him now. So I could be wrong, but I do think there will be a little bit of a dip once the stars are gone. Those particular few stars next season.
And I think, yeah, I agree. I think once Shador and Travis and the other Sanders, which I kind of want a jersey now, like a Colorado Shiloh jersey that just says the other Sanders.
Shiloh. Poor Shiloh.
Yeah, Shiloh Sanders. Yeah.
He gets overshadowed by Shador.
I mean, that's easy to do because, I mean, him and Shador and Travis are just incredible, like watching them play. But, you know, there's something to be said about pulling a lot of kids from the transfer portal. Case in point, Florida State. Look what happened there. Like, they patched together a team, and it did not work out. Not saying that'll happen everywhere, but yeah, so that's something to look at. But, and this will be a good transition into the NFL, is there's been talk now. Everybody just talks. And everybody loves to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. And I am a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. Will be till the day I die. And I'm over them talking about this team 24/7, 365. But there's been talk about Deion possibly becoming the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. What do you think about that?
Well, there's also been talk for years about Deion becoming the coach of the Florida State. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, but I don't see him. Well, I don't see him doing that, because it would be more of a, I don't want to say a sideways move, because obviously Florida State is a much bigger program than Colorado. A lateral move, but I don't know. I just kind of see him wanting to follow his kids, and with Shador and Travis going early, Dallas is probably going to finish terrible, have a fairly high pick next year. Like, how off the wall would it be if he took over at Dallas and drafted, I don't think he would draft Shador, maybe he would, but drafted like Travis. Like, how crazy would that be?
Okay. In this world, I could, nothing would surprise me. Nothing at this point will surprise me. Nothing has surprised me. But let me throw a few names out there for you.
All right.
Steve Spurrier. Nick Saban.
Love him.
Bobby Petrino. Love him now. Greg Schiano.
Don't care.
Remember him? He's back at Rutgers.
Yes, but I get what you're saying. I know the point you're making. And that's that people who have had success in college, it doesn't transfer to the pros.
Get the bed in the pros. It's a completely different game.
100%. And I'm not making this point or bringing up this topic to say I want Deion, because ultimately I don't think it matters who is coaching the Dallas Cowboys, because
Jerry Jones is around.
Jerry Jones is there. Like, it's the Jerry Show, and there's not an environment built
as long as the sun shines brightly into Jerry Dome. Jerry World?
Yes. Yeah, as long as they don't put up curtains and he's staring into the sun when writing checks, it doesn't matter. So I really don't think it matters who he picks. And honestly, with Deion, I heard some people say, like, it's too big of a personality to bring in with Jerry. Like, Jerry wants a yes man who's just going to agree with what he says. And Deion is very much not that guy.
Right.
So, but, you know, just for the sake of talking about it and having this discussion, it would be kind of interesting to just see. And I mean, we're already garbage. Like, it can't get really worse than what it is now. Yes, we could lose every game, but, you know, hey, when you're down and out and things are just shitty, and they have been, like, not working for as long as the Cowboys have just been mediocre, fuck it, just go a little wild. Plus, I will say, from the perspective of a parent Not to get on that level, but from like Dion, you know, being a parent, it would be so awesome to be able to like coach your kid through college and then into the pros. Like that would be so fucking cool to be able to do that and like see your kid play. Like that's why I completely understand why LeBron wants to keep playing and like play with his son. Like that is just so awesome to be able to do that. So hey, like I could see maybe him being like, nope, fuck it, I'm following my kids at least to the next level as long as I can.
It would be cool. I hope, I would hope, because I like Dion. He's just a cool personality, and just this Colorado story and even back to Jackson State has been so much fun.
Yeah.
I would like to think and hope that it would work out better than LeBron. I mean, this is a complete apples to oranges example, but yeah. LeBron and Bronny, because Bronny actually just got sent down to the G League.
Well, I saw they're splitting him.
Yeah. So I mean, he's a project, sure, but the NFL is also a win now,
yes,
entity. It's a win now league. You know, it would sell some merchandise. It would sell not that the Cowboys have any issues selling tickets. It would sell merchandise and tickets, but you know, he'd probably have a pretty short leash. And Jerry's kind of known for, well, I guess he's given Mike McCarthy plenty of opportunities.
Coaches
get pretty pissed off, and as the older Jerry gets, the less time Jerry's got left on this planet to see. I mean, he's got more money than God. He's got the best healthcare around. He might live to be 150. Who knows?
Uh-huh.
But the less time he's got to potentially see his, you know, his baby, his creation, actually win something, and you know, college to the NFL, it seldom works out. Jim Harbaugh, the Harbaughs notwithstanding, of course, Pete Carroll. It's happened. It does happen. But I don't see it. I'd love to be wrong, because that'd be fun as hell. I'd root for the Cowboys. They would be my team. I'd root for them, but I just don't see it happening.
It would be interesting. I don't think it'll happen either. I don't think Mike McCarthy will be there after this year, but I could be wrong there, because one thing that's very odd is like Cowboys coaches, I want to say unstereotypically, have had a lot of time. Like they've been given like 4 or 5 seasons to get it right, whereas you see some of these coaches get fired halfway through their first season. I think we saw that happen like last year.
Who was it? That happen this year? Wasn't it like the Raiders coach or something?
It wasn't the Raiders. The Raiders released like their offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, but I think it was either the Panthers coach last year.
Yes, Matt Rhule. Yes.
Yeah, was fired like 5 games into the year. I mean, granted, they were terrible and they're still terrible, but he didn't even give him a chance to like unpack his bags.
He's probably still living in a hotel.
Yeah, exactly. So
never even found property in Charlotte.
I don't know why you would really want to. No, I can't say that. Charlotte's nice place.
Awesome.
Yeah, and Charlotte's a pretty awesome place.
Charlotte's expensive, so hopefully he didn't find property, because then he'd get he'd have no problem flipping it. But still, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. So, who knows? Who knows what will happen with the Cowboys? And speaking of them, they're putting together a little bit of a drive here. So
a little bit.
Maybe they haven't given up yet. Left
to at least get a field goal here before halftime. I don't know, man. Yeah. Jerry doesn't fire? I mean, McCarthy's been around for a while, but Jerry doesn't typically fire coaches mid-season, does he?
No, like we would have had to been like if we had all of our key players and we just lost every game, then I could see maybe him like firing him halfway through the season.
Yeah,
but we would also have to have someone like waiting in the wings.
No Dak for the rest of the year. I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter who's going to coach Cooper Rush as the. It doesn't matter who's coaching.
Yeah, no run game. It's been an odd year. Like their run by committee plan didn't work. We have no run game. They had to lean too much on Dak, and we've seen when it's all on Dak, he tends to struggle a little bit. So I just think it's a bad year. Their plan didn't work. So it's just one of those years you're gonna have to scrap and, you know, figure out something else. But you know, they're still fighting. That's good to see. I do think if we lose this game, then you might lose the locker room. It's because it's like 100% over. Like, you're not coming back from this. But hey, you never know what's going to happen. unless you're playing the Jaguars.
My God, was that a long segment about the Cowboys when the whole world is talking about the whole football world is talking about two other things. The first of those two, of course, is the Lions, Kyle. Mm-hmm. You started to say,
yeah, the official team of the Mediocre Sports Podcast. A reminder to everyone: Travis and I, as individuals, have different teams that we go for.
Hashtag one pride.
Yep. Hashtag pride time. But as far as the podcast goes, we are diehard, lifelong, from the womb, Detroit Lions fans.
Since September of 2024.
Since September of 2024/1989. But, they are looking good.
Like, you know what we got yesterday? You know what we got on Sunday, Kyle?
What?
We got Scoreagami.
Oh, did we?
We did. 52-6, Lions over the Jaguars, was Scoreagami.
And if you're not familiar with Scoreagami, Travis, let us know what it was.
Scoreagami is, of course, the internet sensation of NFL final scores, game final scores that have never happened before in the history of the league, which goes back over 100 years. So the very first time a final score that has never once been seen occurs. They're fairly rare, but actually, you know, they happen a couple of times a year, usually at least. But one instance was this past Sunday, the Lions 52-6 over the Jaguars. We had Scoreagami. There's really no point in even unboxing that game. The Jaguars are trash. The Lions might be the I'm sorry, Buffalo and Kansas City, which we'll get to in a second. Mm-hmm. Lions might be the best team in the NFL. They're certainly the best offense in the NFL. They've already had two Scoreagamis this year because when you score so goddamn many points, nobody scores that many points in the NFL. So you see a lot of Scoreagami. That Cowboys game, the Lions over the Cowboys, 47-9 earlier, that was also Scoreagami. I think we covered that.
Nice to be part of history.
I mean the Lions just absolutely just smashed it. Granted, it was the Jaguars. And
without Trevor Lawrence,
Jaguars are a meme because, you know, once in a while they're relevant, but they didn't have Trevor Lawrence. And I mean, it was just, God bless them. It was just unfair how good the Lions are, how good that offense and defense are, as the Cowboys line up for a 40-yard field goal here with a minute left to try to come within 4 points
and miss it
in the first half. But my God, what a beatdown! And he doinked it.
Yep.
Your kicker doinked it.
He did doink it. I am like a good 45 seconds ahead of you. But as what we like to quote a lot on here, South Park is shouldn't have done that to them. It's just a boy. Detroit should not have done that to them. They were just boys. You brought in a team of men. So
shouldn't have did that to him. He's just a boy.
So yeah, Lions. Go Lions. Let's hopefully they can pull it out and we can all witness history. Detroit Lions winning the Super Bowl.
Or even appearing in a Super Bowl, which they are one of the few teams that have never been to a Super Bowl before.
Yeah, that would be incredible. I mean, if they go there, I definitely want them to win. But hopefully they keep it going. They've got something cooking over there, and it's been cooking for a couple years. So let's keep it going.
Detroit. Well, you know, the Cowboys aren't doing anything, and so I've never been a fan of adopting like a quote unquote second team, except for of course for this podcast. But it gets to a point where, you know, your team is so far out of it, it's kind of fun to follow a good story or, you know, not have they're my second team or...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just hate when people say, oh yeah, I have an AFC team and an NFC team. I just think that's so stupid because they both, like, at the end of the day, they A, could both meet in the Super Bowl, and B, they both compete for the same championship. I just think that's silly. When your team's out of it, it's fun to... it gives you a reason. You don't play fantasy football. It gives you a reason to watch Red Zone. It gives you a reason to follow another team because, like, hey, I really, you know, they're not my team per se, but I really want to see them do well. I want to see, like, honestly, even with Buffalo, all those Super Bowls they lost, they've never won one. I think at some point I would not be disappointed if Buffalo won a Super Bowl. I would be disappointed if the Cleveland Browns won a Super Bowl. They've never even been to one. One pride. And that's a fun story. I don't think they're going anywhere. I don't think they're like you said, they're building something over there. I don't think they're going anywhere after this season. I think the Lions are a force for a while.
Yeah, I think so too. And surprisingly, like Buffalo, like I kind of thought Buffalo was going to just fade off into the abyss after like two seasons ago. and they just keep coming back. And I agree with you. Like, I would really love to see Buffalo come back and win this, because I really like Josh Allen. He plays, like, his heart out. He's like a more talented Baker Mayfield with a better team behind him.
Oh, that was cold. Well,
I'm not knocking Baker, because Baker does some amazing stuff, but Baker's also got a couple drawbacks, which Josh Allen can throw some picks to, but, you know,
He did used to live at the Cleveland Browns Stadium.
He did, so I guess, you know, I was just talking to my wife about how much I love every commercial Baker
so
Mayfield
good.
In it.
The one with Slash?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, those ads were so good. When they let him go, that was you knew that was over. That was a bummer.
Yeah, but now we talked about this before, the Heisman House commercials with him in there. It's just so funny when he's backing up the...
He can't back up Boomer. He can't back up the Sooner.
No.
Sorry, Oklahoma fans. He can't back up the Sooner Schooner
Sooner, which they flipped like 3 years ago. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
Yeah. Took the corner a little too hard.
Yeah, need a little more wedge in the in the right rear there.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a racing reference.
That was a racing reference.
But speaking of Josh Allen, who you care for, the God praise Jesus, the Chiefs finally went down.
Right. Well, so I like the Chiefs. Like, I like Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, I do too. And I like to see history. When Tom Brady was doing his thing with the Patriots, I wasn't necessarily rooting for them, but I like to see history. I spend my money on watching sports and spend my time to watch freakish millionaires do things that I could never even fathom myself coming close to doing. So, yeah. I eventually, if a team went completely ran the table undefeated and won the Super Bowl, it'd be cool to see once in my lifetime. So it would have been cool to see the Chiefs. No, fuck them. They won the last two Super Bowls. If they hadn't won a Super Bowl for a while, maybe. No, fuck them. I'm glad they lost. And that game was it was a good game. But the Chiefs, if I'm not mistaken, never even had a lead.
No,
it was a close game up there until the very end. Until Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes threw two picks, man. I have Mahomes in fantasy. I drafted him. I was like a freaking kid on Christmas morning when it dropped to, I can't remember what round. It was a little lower. You know, you don't pick quarterbacks right away in fantasy. And yeah. Patrick Mahomes was available. I was like, hell yeah, we are picking Mahomes. This is going to be a damn good season. And then I started him for like the first month, and he's just putting up, I mean, they were winning, granted, but putting up horrible fantasy numbers. He didn't have good numbers again yesterday. He threw two picks. Did throw three touchdowns, grant you. But and he didn't run for literally anything. He dinked and dunked it down the field, and I mean the Bills were just ready for him. The Bills deserved to win that game.
No, I think I don't want to say it exposed the Chiefs, because, and I hate to sound like every announcer and every analyst talking about it, but like Patrick Mahomes, you give him the ball and it's kind of like old school Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. You're just like, oh shit, like they're probably gonna figure out a way to go down the field and score. But, kind of to your point, like, he's not been playing the best ball this year, and he's had a lot of his other, like, team members and defense and all that step up, and I feel like they just figured out, like, hey, we'll just, clap those guys and make him beat us, and he couldn't do it this time.
To piggyback on that about, Mahomes having the ball, damn it, you know, he may not put up the most impressive stats, but you just know he's gonna do something amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think back to that Bucks Chiefs Monday night game a couple weeks ago, where the Bucks forced overtime at the very end with that super late touchdown pass.
Yep.
And at the coin toss, do you remember the coin toss? When the Chiefs won the toss, do you remember Baker Mayfield's reaction?
Yes, that was very much one of the best, like, well, fuck.
Yeah, well, you could literally see all the hope, all the life, all the joy just immediately die out of that man's eyes. Chiefs won the toss. Chiefs obviously elected to receive. Baker was like, fuck, I'm just going to go get comfy. I'm going to go get dressed. I'm going to go take a shower. I'm going to go get out of this uniform because I'm not touching this football. And lo and behold, what happened?
Yep.
They marched down the field and won. Yep.
That was I saw that reaction live, and that was one of those where you're just like, did he just? Damn.
Yeah, and that was on the NFL memes too. That Instagram account.
Yeah.
It was just like this man just knew exactly what was going to happen as soon as they won that coin toss, and lo and behold, Baker Mayfield's a smart man. Of course, the entire world could probably see it coming.
Oh yeah, we all knew what was going to happen.
Chiefs will go.
But...
All right, prediction time. They're 9-1 now. Their first loss. Do they keep it in high gear all season? Because the Broncos aren't terribly far behind them, and the Chargers are looking good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess they do have to probably keep their foot on the gas. What do you predict for the Chiefs, who are currently 9-1? What do you predict as their final record?
So what do we have? 17 games in the regular season now? I anticipate them losing maybe 2 to 3 more games, which I think is good.
I was going to say 2 more. I was going to say they're going to go 14-3. So, yeah, we're on the same page there.
So, yeah, if they – yeah, 2 games, 3 games, like, I think that's probably best for them. If they only lose 1 game, I feel like you kind of set yourself up to implode. I'm basing this off of nothing other than just what's in my brain at the moment, and I'm just spewing it out. But I would, if I were them, I'd want to lose like 1 more game, and finish the season 15-2. I think that would be that's a good season, and
that's a
good
season.
Like, yeah, that's a hell of a season. And I think that's just, you know, you got 2 losses, you learn something about yourself, because you probably review tape and like analyze your play a lot more when you lose versus when you win. So I think when you lose, you go back and you're like, okay, this is what we did to lose. So like, how do we fix that? How do we not do that? So I think it would be more beneficial to lose 1 to 2 more games and finish 15-2, 14-3.
Real quick. They've got a medium difficulty remaining schedule. Mm-hmm. They play at the Panthers next week, which, I mean, it would be hilarious at the Panthers, be hilarious if that was one of the Panthers, you know, 3-4 wins this year.
Yeah.
They play the Raiders on Black Friday in Arrowhead. They should beat mm-hmm. the Raiders. Then it gets a little tough for a little bit. Actually, they're out of their last 5 games, they've really only got 1 team that I think they absolutely will or should beat, and that's the Browns.
Yeah.
They got the Chargers at home. They got the Texans at home. On Christmas Day, they play at the Steelers.
Oh, that's going to be a good game.
And then at the Broncos in Week 18, Week 18, anything goes, anyone can win. So, I mean, 2 to 3 more losses is not unrealistic. I don't know if they'll go 15-2. I don't know if this year's team has that in them. Mm-hmm. But it's a medium difficulty. I can't say favorable. They've got good team. They got nothing in between. They got either good teams or shit teams remaining on their
schedule. Those are 2 right really good games. Those are 2 like possibly like game of the years, because I think the Chargers Chiefs game is going to be super high scoring because defenses are good but not great. But that Steelers game, like I might pick the Steelers to win that game, because hey, don't sleep on the Steelers. Like they have got they always have a defense, but now their offense is also rolling. Like,
and that's at Pittsburgh, and look what they just did to Lamar. And it's funny you say that about the Chargers game being high scoring, because when they played earlier in the year in San Diego, in LA, the final score of that game was 17-10. Chiefs won. So
yeah, and that was, I mean, both teams for sure. The Chargers 100% didn't have their shit together. So I think now that both teams are really firing on all cylinders, we might see. And as you get to the end of the season, like it's go or go home. So
yep.
I think it might be a big scoring game. But Travis, I need a refreshment. I'm sure you do too.
I do
as
well.
Why don't we take a little break here?
All right, we're going to take a little break here on the Mediocre Sports Podcast. We will return shortly. Thanks to editing and technology, you won't even know we're gone. But Kyle, real quick, this break and this next segment, which we will get to shortly, this break is brought to you by... Kyle, let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have over there?
Travis, I dare say I have nothing.
You got nothing? Well, this break is brought to you by our sponsor, Nothing, because we still don't have a sponsor. Nothing. You'll have nothing and like it. We'll be right back.
pod, COVID. COVID and college football. That's what we'll do our segments about from here
on
out.
We can leave out the COVID part, but hey, whatever. Let's just go with the flow and let's do it.
Yeah, let's get into it. And so with that, I guess we're back. Hey, Travis, we're back.
We back, baby. We are so back. We are like the Florida Gators. We are so fucking back at 5-5. All right. Indiana football. No, we're not. They were never there. So they're not back. So that's a bad example too.
Yeah, you can't. You got to be there to leave and then come back.
Yeah, true.
We're back. We'll just leave it at that. We're back.
Hello.
Monday Night Football is back from halftime. So here we are. I've actually been super excited about this segment. Travis, what's the name of the segment? We don't have to say the names, but I love the name of this segment so much that we have to say it every show. But Travis, tell the people what segment this is.
Well, we honor our 80s movies because we are 80s, well, born in the 80s, but 90s children. We honor our 80s movies. Mm-hmm. And this segment, Kyle, of course, is called Just a Bit Outside, where we discuss some things that aren't exactly sports related necessarily, that are a little, it's our last subject, our last segment of the show, where we just kind of do some idle chatter about some various topics. I'm sure we'll throw in some Monday Night Football updates here, because we got that in the background, mm-hmm. but Just a Bit Outside is for those topics that don't quite fit in the mediocre sports realm. I'm sure our listeners will find what we talk about still to be mediocre. I mean, that's what we set out.
That's how we live our lives.
We get by. We do just enough. We exist. Sometimes our daughters talk about that fucking door. And it suits us. And I think it's just right. And I think it's the perfect name for this segment.
Honestly, I don't want to do this because I never wanted to be that person that always talks about their kid, but I feel like we may end up having a segment each week that just is like, what did Ellie say this week?
I love it. And it'll be nice and short because I don't have any kids to talk about. Unless I start really dating this girl and then seeing her kids a lot.
And that's why I was so excited for the segment. Not just because for the name, but I know early on in the intro, we kind of got a little too much into it, but your date, I wanted to get more into this, specifically your upcoming date, and you're going to meet one of her daughters.
Yeah, so met this nice girl on Tinder, which Kyle, you have some experience there as well.
I married my wife because of Tinder. I met her on Tinder and married
her.
So I have a lot.
Remind me and remind our listeners who do you have to thank for that?
I have Travis.
Yeah.
You to thank.
You are welcome.
So yeah. Thank you for my wife and my child and my everything.
Oh, wow, we're getting deep. You are welcome, my friend.
Super deep.
Kyle came up to visit me when I was graduating my undergrad and just happened to match with this girl, and on his way back he met her, and the rest, as they say, is history. And it makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Yep, thank you to the Florida State Seminoles. Ah. Florida State Seminoles is a direct correlation with my marriage and the birth of my child.
The school which I attended, but the school which is athletic programs, whose athletic programs I no longer support. This date. So it went really well. We planned for brunch, but it got started a little late, so it turned into lunch and dinner. We hung out mm-hmm. in this cute little downtown, this cool little downtown area, Sanford. And did lots of quality conversation, listened to some live music, did some walking, you know, did the cute stuff, the cutesy stuff. We held hands. We did end up kissing a couple of times.
Nice.
Yeah. And then she went home to her daughter and I came home to my dog, and we have plans now for later this week on Wednesday, which I'm supposedly going to be meeting her daughter, and we're going to be doing karaoke. So bringing a kid to karaoke seems like an interesting strategy, but apparently this place that I'm unfamiliar with in DeLand that you might be familiar with is mm-hmm. kid friendly, and I think I may bring my dog too, so she can meet the dog. Yeah, I'll meet her daughter, and that'll I think be when an indicator, it's pretty, you know, pretty soon, but an indicator of if things are really gonna click.
Yeah, no, that's definitely and this is what I really wanted to get into, and you mentioned that you may not be able to go, and I just wanted to be like, you have to go. Like, she's talking about bringing her daughter. Like, you gotta make that effort to go meet her daughter, because, you know, I know people, when they're dating and they have kids, that's a real, like, sensitive subject for them, for the most part. So if she is like, okay, after one date, I'm comfortable with you meeting one of my daughters, like, that's a big testament to your character. Cause I know a lot of people are like, no, I want to hold off until I'm like really sure. So, applaud you for that. Like, you know, that must've been a really good first date for her to be that cool to bring her daughter. Do you know how old her daughter is?
Her daughter is 9.
Is not. Oh, okay. That's a good age. I say that like I have a 9-year-old, I have a 4-year-old, but I've met some 9-year-olds in my life. I was 9 at one time. It's a good age, you know. A lot happened in your life. Yeah, I think most of us were. Yeah, I think bringing the dog's going to be awesome. You know, I don't want to tell you what to do. You're an awesome dude, but definitely make it a point to, like, get to know her daughter and get on her level. I think that'll go a long way. Again, if you want to, like, if you're feeling like this isn't going the way you want it to go and you don't want it to progress anymore, then by all means, do whatever you want. But that's how I would handle it. Dealing with a kid is 100% like, talk to her kid, not like she's a child, just like a regular person, and just have fun with them.
Oh, yeah. And from what I've been told and from experience at, like, holidays and things, I'm actually pretty good with kids. Even though I don't have any of my own, and I've never dated anyone. Believe it or not, I am in my mid-30s, and I've never dated anyone that had kids.
Yeah.
But you actually just, and I mean, we've been doing so much chat, and we played our Dynasty game earlier, which we'll get into, and you actually just brought this up. You just brought this up organically. I hadn't thought about the fact that, holy shit, after one date, yeah, she's cool with me meeting her daughter, so yeah, that's got to be a good sign, and now I'm really excited. I mean, even more.
Yeah,
excited
yeah.
than I already was.
Yeah, definitely. You know, bringing your dog, like, that'll be awesome too. Definitely make sure that you can bring the dog wherever y'all are going, just so, you know, plans don't
I'm
get
not
like shifted around
stuck
or
there
you know
with
maybe
the dog and can't hang out in a
yeah,
town.
Yeah, like,
in
oh,
a
I'll just be out
30
here.
Minutes away from me.
Yeah, I'll just be out here. No, yeah, that'll be fun. I'm excited for you. I'm excited to see how that goes. But yeah, just have fun. And you know, I was 100% not a kids person. I was terrible with kids because I just didn't like them for my entire life. And now that I have one, I'm much better with kids. Obviously, you have to be when you have a kid. Well, you don't have to be. You could be a shitty parent. But I got a lot better with them now that my daughter's gotten older. And girls are so much better than boys. Like, infinitely better. I would rather have 1,000 more girls than one boy. Like, that 100% like that. Rachel and I talk all the time. If we could guarantee having a girl, we would have another kid. But since it's a 50-50 chance, we're not gonna.
Right.
So, and so that's my pitch to having a girl. You know.
Well, I don't. I mean, I don't know if we'll be having any girls anytime soon. I think that's just maybe a little forward. But one thing she has mentioned is that she's not okay. She said she's not a dog person, but she's just not. She doesn't want any pets. She says she likes dogs, but she's not what she would, what one would consider a dog person. Like, obviously, you and I are dog people. We have dogs. We love them.
Yeah.
You know, there are. Well, you have a kid, so I guess they're not your kid, but they're like your kid. Well, my dog's my baby. She's basically up to this point all I got. I certainly am a dog person. So it'll be interesting to see if she gets along with my dog, because my dog gets along with most people. She can be a little. She's so random. She loves some people. She hates some that she's just met. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's their vibe, their aura, or what it is. So I mean, I hope I don't end up bringing her and she just ends up like losing her mind and I can't control her, which doesn't happen often. But she can be, for whatever reason, just very very particular with people. So,
well, that. Funny you bring that up, because that was kind of a make or break situation for Rachel and I. Is when we got together, we went on a couple dates. We were really, like, you know, thinking this was something we wanted to continue doing. But I had Bentley, rest in peace, RIP, Bentley Rodriguez.
Oh, man, rest in paradise, Bentley. Bentley was a good boy.
Yep. He was a good boy. Most of the time. Sometimes not so good. But, hey, aren't we all? And she has our beloved Lucifer, Lucy, who is still alive and kicking, even though most of the time we wish she wasn't. But, yeah, so Lucy, and like, we both had dogs, and we were like, well, we're not getting rid of our dogs, so we have to make sure they get along. And Lucy specifically was a rescue dog, and she must have been abused by a male figure that owned her before, because she just, like, hated men.
Right,
just
right.
For whatever reason. And I think Rachel was actually dating someone shortly before we met. And she said that, like, she brought him over for the first time, and Lucy just lost her shit. And she was just like, well, that's probably a sign. So she ended up not, like, seeing that guy again. And I walked in, and Lucy, like, barked a couple times, but for the most part was just kind of cool with me, just feeling me out. And we got our dogs together, and they just walked up to each other, and they were just like, hey, you a dog? I'm a dog.
Let's sniff each other's butts.
Yeah, and they played with each other, and we were like, okay, well, I guess this is a sign. Our dogs like each other. And that had nothing to do with what you said in this girl potentially not being a dog person, or Sadie not necessarily liking her. But I think it's probably more to do with the fact that she's a single mom of two kids. Like, if I was a single parent, I would sell these dogs on Facebook Marketplace that I have now. I love my dogs, but, like, if I had to deal with my kids by myself, I would sell the dogs or give them away immediately. Right. Like, it's just, it's so much to deal with.
They say it's like even when you have two parents. I mean, to an extent, sure.
Yeah, to an extent, except for the fact that, like, I can leave my dogs downstairs unsupervised for hours at a time and not really worry about it, or put them in a crate at night and, you know, just, like, have a fucking break.
Yeah, I can't do that with Sadie. I can't leave her unsupervised. She actually, and a lot of people give me flack for this, but because she has horrible separation anxiety, so I have to crate her while I'm gone, or else she will. She's fully house trained. She's great, but she will, if you leave her alone for an extended period of time, she will chew everything, wires, furniture, baseboards, claw doors, and she'll piss and shit everywhere. So I have to keep her crated during the day, but then at night, she just, like, right now, she's being a good girl laying on my bed, and she sleeps with me in the bed, so, you know, like, it all balances out. She spends time in the crate, but then she gets plenty of free time.
I mean, my dogs, both our dogs, like, Keely and Luna, our golden retrievers, are great. Like, they could be out 24/7 and pretty much have no issues, not even go to the bathroom, but I crate them every night just because, you know, people can say whatever they want about crates, but, like, dogs very much like having a safe zone to go to, and that's why, like, we introduced crates early on when we got them, and that's very much, like, when they're feeling uncomfortable, I see them go to their crate, so I'm like, no, that's their bedroom. They're totally fine with that. And then, yeah, when we go places, for the most part, like, we crate them, unless it's going to be, like, an hour or two, then I'll leave them out. If it's anything longer than that, then I'd rather keep them in the crate, just because I know they're not going to the bathroom, they're not going to fuck anything up. It's just peace of mind for us.
100%.
So whoever judges anyone for putting their dog in a crate, you know, as long as it's within reason and you let them out after the fact,
crates exist for a reason. I mean, there would not be crate manufacturers and crates in literally every pet store, Amazon, everywhere, if crates did not have a useful purpose. So, fuck anyone that judges crates.
Fuck crate training and
keeping them in there. Yeah.
That's
their, like you said, their safe space.
Yeah, it 100% is. It's a little safety safe. So, yeah. But, yeah, I'm super excited for that. I hope it turns out well. And everything goes good.
Well, you know, I will keep you posted, my friend. You are at this. I mean, you're essentially, basically, my best friend. So,
yeah, I will
keep you posted on everything, man.
We are each other's oldest friends. I believe
at this at this juncture, you absolutely are my my oldest friend. I can think back to the first two times I ever met you, and yeah, you trump everybody. Trump.
Hey, let's not. And with that, we'll keep moving. Speaking of friends, he's not a new friend because we've lived in this house for 2 years now. But I have a very good friend named Bob. Bob is 77 years old, and he's my neighbor, and he's retired. He does nothing. Well, I don't want to say he does nothing. He stays fairly active. He plays golf and works around his house and does all that. But every day, about 11 o'clock, the garage door opens, pulls his car out onto the street, pulls his lawn chair up, and that man will kill 6-7 Miller Lights.
That was going to be my question.
By 2 or 3 o'clock. Oh, yeah, no. And so the first day we moved in, everybody, of course, was like, who the hell's moving in here? You always want to see who your neighbors are going to be. And he walked out, and I was like, hey, man, I just want to introduce myself. I'm Kyle. He was like, I'm Bob. When the garage is open, the beer's flowing, and there's always an extra chair. And by God, if that man didn't keep his word, there is always a Miller Lite ready to go, and there is always an extra chair.
That is beautiful.
So I will find time throughout the week if I can, if I don't have a bunch of stuff going on and I've got everything wrapped up for work, to at least head out there and, you know, chat him up. One of his old friends passed away this past week, so I was like, I definitely, you know, cooked him some food over the weekend.
Man.
Had a couple beers with him this weekend, you know, just make sure he's doing good. And it was funny, one of his, like, lifelong friends came over while I was there. And hearing two old guys that were both, like, 77, and I think the other guy was, like, 82, 81. So, you know, pretty, like, old guys. And they're just fucking, like, just going after each other. Like, you know, you hear good, like, old friends do. But you just didn't expect that from, like, people that old. Like, I would talk to you like that, or, like, some of my other friends that are in our 30s and our 20s like that. But just hearing them, like poke fun and like take jabs at each other was just so fucking funny. And like really nice to see. I was like, oh, like good. That shit doesn't die out. Like, we're still going to be talking like this when we're old as fuck and our PPs don't work. So,
I plan on it. If I end up, you know, making it anywhere with my lifestyle. I don't know how late I'll make it, but I plan on talking like this till the day I die. Whatever age that may happen to be.
Well, I always tell Rachel, I'm built for a good time, not a long time. So 100%. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see how that goes for both of us, you know. But we'll keep it going. Keep the dude talk going for as long as we can. And speaking of that, so last week we found out I like scotch.
We did. You're a man.
I ended up taking the bottle over to one of our friends' house, and I left it there as a gift for him, even though we drank like 2/3 of it. So I was just like, you can have that. But do you know what a Glencairn glass is?
I don't believe I do.
So they're like, they're whiskey glass. And it's not the rocks glass. It's like how you drink whiskey neat. So they're like the narrow glasses on top, and they have like a fat bottom.
Okay,
anyway,
yeah.
I got, yeah, yeah. So and you like swish it around like a douche, and like put your nose right into the thing of it.
You get that whole snooty experience.
Oh God, I am so snooty right now. Like, I'm just, as we're talking, I'm just swirling the what's left over of the whiskey that I didn't spill on my laptop before this recording started. Just swishing it around, giving a smell. Like, I smell anything other than like methanol and just pure alcohol. But yeah, I'm feeling myself, you know. We've elevated in life.
You want to?
And I'm also celebrating.
You want to know what I'm sipping on right now?
What?
Great Value brand bottle of water.
Oh, I love that's a good. Hey, that's a quality
Walmart.
Brand.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Anytime we take a road trip, I get a 24 pack, and for whatever reason, in the internet world, this is a hot take. So I want to hear everyone's opinion that's listening to this. We should start a poll, actually. Okay. But I will drink bottled water, like 10-1 filtered water.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I don't know what it is. And it's not like our filtered water tastes bad. Like, it's really good. It's actually double filtered. Like, I have two, like, filtering cycles it goes through. So it's really good water, but for some reason, when I have a bottle of water in front of me, it doesn't matter the brand, I will just suck that down like I've been walking in the desert for a month. No idea why.
Say what you will about bottled Walmart, water, but their bottled water, the just Great Value brand, the cheapest one, I was by the 40-pack because I drink a shitload of water.
Yeah.
Delicious. Smooth. Doesn't have like any aftertaste. Doesn't have any weird additives. It's not like Dasani. Delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Dasani. I'm not a big fan of Dasani. Zephyr Hills, I can get behind.
Real quick, I'm so sorry, but did you happen to see what the Cowboys just did?
They kicked a field goal.
Did you see how long it was?
Like 64
yards.
There's 64 yards, so that's tying the NFL record again.
I believe so.
Yeah, but I think he just we just got a first down for like a
personal
penalty or something
running,
like that.
Running
so.
Into the holder? Did he hit the kicker? I don't have audio on.
I don't know. Yeah, but
he just punched,
yeah,
he just
we're
punched
still...
the center in the face, and then
maybe that was what it was. Illegal hands to the face or something
maybe
like
that. Yeah, I mean he just straight up punched the center in the face. And I don't have audio. Okay, all right, that'll so the 64-yard field goal did not count. But, dude, that guy might would have made it from 67, 68.
Oh, I can't remember if his first name is Brandon or it's like – it's something with a B. But Aubrey
– Brandon Aubrey.
He's a – Brandon Aubrey, yeah. He has a monster leg. He's already tied the NFL record before. And I want to say they tried to let him kick a 71-yarder in one game. And I can't remember what happened with it. I think it was like wide right or something like that. Oh,
by the way,
dude,
the record is no longer 64. It's 66. Justin Tucker a few years ago
extended it
to 66. But yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, he did tie it when it was 64, but he's got the leg to kick it from like 70.
Oh, yeah.
So
he would have made it from – he would have made fully... 66 there. They showed it clear. It.
Yeah.
But now the Cowboys are moving. They're in the red zone. And Cooper
well,
Rush
they're about to fumble
that.
Here. You'll see. Yeah. Yeah. Because I, again, for those of you that are listening first time, for some reason my TV is from the future. I can tell you everything that's going to happen at least 30 to 45 seconds before it happens. It dictates how our world will end and everything that will happen. So if you ever want to know what is about to happen in some major event, just, oh, God, he almost threw a pick there. See, I know about that pick before anyone else in the world knows about this almost pick.
Before the people at the stadium. You knew about the almost pick before Cooper Rush almost threw it.
Before that ball was made, I knew that there was going to be a pick. And speaking of picks, Travis, we got to talk about it. We got to have a therapy session. Well, first we're going to have a celebratory session.
Okay.
And that is me celebrating I broke the curse of losing to Travis in college football 25.
Speaking of picks, I was like, I didn't have the notes up in front of me. I'm like, where is he going with this? God damn it. Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, so I... took down the champ. Travis and I had the Big 12 championship game?
Yeah, at Jerry World.
Yeah, at Jerry World. Big 12 championship, West Virginia versus Colorado. I was West Virginia, Travis was Colorado. We both were 11-1 on the season.
This is in our college football 25 dynasty that we reference from time to time. And we were both 11-1,
talk about...
as you said. So please, no, I'll let the winner speak. I just wanted to clarify what we were talking about.
Let me gloat. Let me have my moment in the suns because I know I will probably never win another game against you. But, I don't want to say I figured something out, but I did not throw 800 interceptions.
You forced me into three in the first half.
I know.
We'll talk about
that
the second
so
half,
amazing.
But you forced me into three in the first half.
Yeah, the second half we'll just pretend didn't even
there
happen.
There you go. Let's pretend it didn't happen.
Oh, if you know, you know, and Travis and I are the only ones that know. But yeah, I am just super excited. So
being
having,
college
having a little bit of whiskey
playoff
for that.
Congratulations, West Virginia. I mean, man, you've been a hell of a coach at West Virginia. Them Mountaineers in two of your 3 years now, we're at the end of season three of our dynasty. He has made the playoff for now the second time. And who do you play in that first round?
Stanford.
And me... I think you'll beat Stanford. I know the way you play. I know your skills. I think you'll beat Stanford.
Hopefully,
my 11-2, what ended up being an 11-2 season. I was 9-0 until I finally lost to goddamn Arizona State of all people. Who Arizona State just in real life knocked off Kansas State, upset. So okay, maybe not terribly unrealistic. I started off the year 9-0, lost to Arizona State, went into the Big 12 championship 11-1, lost to Kyle in West Virginia. And not a college football at-large bid. What do I get? Why, I get a fabulous – I get a trip to fabulous Las Vegas to play in the goddamn Las Vegas Bowl
against
fucking
who?
6-6 Washington. So if that's not a slap in the goddamn face to my fictional Dion, then I – Kyle, I don't know what the fuck is.
Honestly, I see that actually happening with Colorado this year. Like, I 100% see that happening. Who's leading the Big 12? Is it Colorado?
No, it's not. It's not Colorado. It's well, it was, and may still be, after they lost, finally. Remember, Utah is in the Big 12. Or, God damn it, I did it again. BYU is in the Big 12.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're still number one, but Buffalo is number two, so...
Colorado.
And I don't know what the Cougars have.
Not Buffalo, but Buffalo plays in the NFL, yep. And they play in the MAC.
It's still BYU. Yeah. BYU, after losing to Kansas. They're six. Actually, okay. I take that back. I stand. You are technically correct. The best kind of correct. BYU and Colorado mm-hmm. are now both 6-1 in the conference. BYU is 9-1 overall.
Yep.
They have not played this year. I don't know if they play this year. Good thing I have the Google machine. No. But regardless, that's going to be a hell of a
BYU plays
game.
Arizona.
Yeah, no, yeah, they haven't played this year.
Yeah, BYU plays Arizona.
Yeah,
yeah, they play Arizona and the University of Houston.
Yeah, if things stand the way they are, I mean they've got Arizona State lurking behind, who is 5-2 in the conference.
Yeah,
so they've got them lurking behind. And Iowa State, who, you know, started off real damn good this year, they're 5-2 as well. So, I mean, BYU mm-hmm. and Colorado can't let off the gas. But regardless, this is just a bit outside. But BYU-Colorado would be a hell of a Big 12 championship matchup. Not West Virginia-Colorado as it stood in our fictional world of EA Sports College Football 25. But no, man, congrats. You kicked my ass in those yellow uniforms. Is he a freshman this year? Or did you rest him 1 year?
Yes.
You're a freshman quarterback.
Yeah, he's a
Duke
freshman.
Blade, 5-star scrambling quarterback who you, we were both recruit. We were in a heated recruiting battle last season, and literally mm-hmm. I was leading the entire way, and the last week of the season he jumped and committed to West Virginia. So you got that 5-star QB, and man, did he torch me. Did he torch my ass in that game, and you didn't even have to use his legs. So,
I knew you were ready for a running quarterback, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to take it away
credit
for Travis.
Credit where credit's due. You game planned correctly, and I had nothing for you. I mean, we moved the ball pretty well on the ground. Honestly, I probably shouldn't have thrown a single pass that entire goddamn game. I mean, my running back ended up winning National Running Back of the Year.
Yeah.
Could have won the Heisman, but I didn't run it enough in that last game, and I threw three first half picks. So, I mean, I'll take National Running Back of the Year. That's pretty cool. But Big 12 championship against my bud here would have been real nice. But I'll enjoy that Las Vegas Bowl. And if I lose the Las Vegas Bowl, I wouldn't be surprised if they fired me. And if I fired myself and fired my Xbox out of this second story window, because a 6-6 Washington team, I deserve so much more, Kyle. So much more for the season I had.
That's heartbreaking. Yeah, it kind of reminds me, I think our first season... You had something like that. Like our first season, we didn't have terrible records. And I think you kind of got shafted on that again.
Yeah, you made the playoff and I didn't. And I think we both were somewhere around, you were 11-1, I was 10-2, something like that.
And, yeah, you were like one loss less than me, and you got the shaft again there. So I was kind of hoping that I would have lost that game, because I think that would have meant we both would have been in the playoffs.
For whatever reason, you were ranked, because you had a damn good team, you were ranked third, and I guess, you know, my loss... So who was your one loss to, Kyle, and when did it occur?
My one loss was Alabama, week one. Great way to start
the
season.
So there you go.
Really set yourself up for success.
So you ended the season on an 11-game winning streak, well, a 12-game winning streak after the Big 12, after the title game. My loss came... We got all the way up to rank number 7, I believe it was, when I was 9-0, mm-hmm. and then when I lost to Arizona State... plummeted a little bit. Actually, shit, I think I fell down to like 18th, and then I think I was 12th or 13th, so I was like right on the fringe of potentially the playoff going into that game, and I just couldn't get an at-large bid thanks to those damn group of five guys. Who was it? UConn at 9-3 made the mm-hmm. College football playoff.
Which
doesn't make sense. Now the other at large bid I want to say was Tulane, but the thing about UConn is they don't have a goddamn conference. They're independent like Notre Dame. So how does a 9-3 UConn make the college football playoff over a 11-2 conference Big 12 championship losing Colorado. I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to EA Sports, and they're over there in Orlando, so they'll get it like in a day.
You should protest. You should call the governor, have him threaten to sue the NCAA again. I don't want to talk to Ron DeSantis.
I don't want to talk to Ron DeSantis.
Yeah. Yeah. Call him. Say, hey, you know, the Seminoles thing didn't really work out, but we've got another one for you. Hear me out.
Yeah.
So then I think you might have a case there. That's true, but then we might be in the playoffs together. So, you know, you gotta weigh those options there.
Can I sleep on it?
Do whatever you want with it. I'm in the playoffs. I don't care.
Yeah, you are. You are.
Ha, ha, ha. Which I may play that game when we're done here tonight.
Yeah, I may go play mine. I may go play mine too and just – I may not, throw the ball the entire game. I may just run it up Washington's fucking throats. The Heisman would have already been – unfortunately, the Heisman would have already been awarded, so my running back's out of it there. But he got shafted too, 1,901 yards. God damn it. I may run it up fucking the Washington's goddamn throats and finish with that 12-2 record and then carry that momentum in next season, which is going to be season 4. Holy crap, we're already there. And we'll start to see some of these – well, you've already got Duke Blade, but we'll start to see some more of these recruiting fruits of our labor, because we've had some damn good recruiting classes, some 5 stars coming over to Colorado and West Virginia, boatload of 4 stars. So, man, we should be even better next season if my defense can fucking stop anybody.
I think you've got a scary team next year. I'm a little worried about that. So we will we'll see how that goes.
You've got Duke Blade.
I got Duke Blade and whoever my running back is. I don't remember his name, but a fictional character. If you're listening, you're doing great.
I love you. I love you.
I love you a lot. Yeah, you are just chef's kiss. But Travis, I think that might be it for the night.
You know what? The fourth quarter just started. I think I am gonna fire up. I'm gonna walk the dog, of course, because I love my girl. She's my baby. I don't have kids, so I gotta walk her. And yeah, I might up and play Washington, and then we can advance. And I'll watch the end of this. I think I'll watch the end of the football game before I walk her. She's nice and comfy and asleep on the bed. But
yeah, she's snugged up. Don't wake her up.
Kyle,
let her enjoy the game.
If I may be so bold, I'd like to say this was a damn good episode. Damn fine work on both ends. If I may be so bold.
You know what? If we can just have a little golf clap.
Yeah.
That is a golf clap, and we are not inappropriately touching ourselves.
Who says both of us aren't inappropriately touching ourselves?
And with that, we are going to wrap this up. So thank you for listening, everyone. This has been the Mediocre Sports Podcast. If you forgot, we have a Twitter. Travis, what is the Twitter? Or I guess that's not the Twitter.
Twitter
anymore.
X.
It's the X.
Shitter. Exeter. Shitter. It is Twitter X. whatever.com/mediocresports. That's mediocre SP0RTS. Unfortunately, mediocre sports was taken because Twitter's been around for 18 years and we've been around for not even 2 months. So it's mediocre. It's at mediocre sports with a 0 instead of an O. We've also got a Twitch that we've just been sort of lazy about actually broadcasting. You were broadcasting the game tonight, but we were sort of doing that as a test run. We were doing that as a test run for the Mediocre Sports Twitch. That's twitch.tv/mediocresports, spelled out all correctly with no zeros. And I think that just about does it. The Texans have a 20-10 lead. For the sake of my buddy here, I'm going to hope that the Cowboys and good old Cooper Rush can stage something here. This goddamn nationwide Peyton Manning commercial, I'm sick of it. I want to punch something.
I love that commercial so much.
I'll have to learn to live with it for at least the rest of this season. And Kyle, it's been fun, man, as always. And as always, the Mediocre Sports Broadcast, the Mediocre Sports Podcast, is brought to you by nothing, because we don't have a sponsor. Nothing. You'll have nothing. And like it. Till next time, everybody.
All right, everybody. Have a good night. Peace.
See ya.